for some season's beatings.
Greetings and welcome to the Dead Harvey Podcast. This is Brad Paulson. Today I'd like to talk about Christmas. I see Christmas do different things to people. And I think this is why it inspires so many horror movies and so many heartwarming movies at the same time. You know, this year I've seen even more crazy, like, off-the-rails Santa movies come out than I've seen before in previous years. You know, this year we got Violent Night, we got Christmas, Bloody Christmas. We got that parody they do of the Grinch that stole Christmas as the horror movie parody, like that new trend. I'll be talking about that one if I can get a hold of it. It's the mean one that's coming out. But yeah, Christmas seems to either make people so happy that you're annoyed by it, or so depressed that you feel sorry for them. Christmas has a very interesting effect. So the movie I'd like to talk about today is Violent Night. The director has his roots in indie horror. He did a movie called Dead Snow, which is about Nazi zombies attacking kids at a skiing trip. And he also did a sequel as well, too. The director is Tommy Wirkola. If you pull him up on IMDb and look at a picture of him, he looks like Kid Rock if he got his hair cut. A good Norwegian boy that makes some pretty kick-ass horror action movies. You know, Dead Snow, Dead Snow 2, Red vs. Dead, and then also What Happened to Monday with Noomi Rapace, which I hear is really good, but I haven't actually checked that one out yet. But Dead Snow is a pretty awesome movie. So Violent Night is about Santa Claus, who basically is delivering presents to this rich family in an isolated area because they sort of almost have like a compound, like gated off from where they're at. And he has to John McClane his ass out of a hostage situation. This movie has a lot of really fun elements thrown in together. It sort of is a mix between Die Hard, Home Alone, and I love that they put this addition in there too, The Ref, because The Ref is one of my favorite Christmas movies. And of course, it's got these elements of these movies in it, with the main character being very Grinch-like at the beginning of the movie. It's sort of like how bad Santa is, and then how he has that arc. So David Harbour, who plays Santa Claus in this movie, does this arc really well. So what makes a Christmas movie a Christmas movie? I think, to me, Violent Night has this in spades. And he does it with this very interesting blend of elements of all these other movies to it. It has sort of an earnest, heartwarming feel to it, while at the same time not skimping on copious amounts of action and gore, like real over-the-top gore. It's like fantasy violence, and the humor sort of plays in all the right moments. It works really well. I saw this movie in the theater. Well, otherwise, I guess I would have had to pirate it. But if you can see this one in the theater, and if you're still trying to buy Christmas gifts for people, see if you can get it on like one of those AMC matinees for $5, because it's well worth seeing it at the theater if you're a horror movie fan. And it's kind of a crossover movie, too. So I see it playing to other audiences as well, too. I see it playing to action audiences. I see it playing to comedy audiences, like especially like black comedy. The movie Violent Night starts out with David Harbour. Of course, we all know David Harbour from Stranger Things, that little-known show on Netflix. He is getting wasted at a bar. He gives the bartender a gift addressed to one of her family members, and she's like, "How did you know that?" And he goes out. She asks him if he's okay to drive, and he says, "Well, the reindeer mostly just steer most of the time." So she kind of laughs it off. Until he gives her the present. And then when he gives her the present, she's like, "Well, what's going on here? How does he know this?" He leaves and she's like, "You're going out the wrong way." It's like, "You're going up to the roof." He goes up there. He gets on his reindeer. She sees the magic of Santa Claus flying off with his reindeer in the sky. And he vomits on her. That's how the movie starts. It's a fantastic opening if you're a fan of black comedy or comedy in the vein of what you'd see in Bad Santa. So then we go to like Santa's routine of delivering presents. He goes to this rich person's home. It's a gated community, but obviously Santa can bypass that because of the reindeer. He gets in there and Santa's already wasted. So he's on a total binger. And you get sort of the feeling that Santa Claus has been on a binge every Christmas Eve for a while now, because when he's talking to the bartender at the beginning, he has lost his Christmas spirit. So this is very essential, because it's kind of like, if you look at something like The Grinch, where the Grinch has lost his Christmas spirit, if you look at something like even Bruce Willis in Die Hard, he has lost his Christmas spirit. He has become cynical. He used to have optimism. Bruce Willis was in love with his wife. He is going down there to maybe patch things up, but you can tell he's jaded. Just like Santa Claus is jaded in this movie, because he's sick of the commercialization of Christmas. He's sick of giving video games out. He's sick of kids just wanting video games, although I understand, because I think video games are great. Maybe Santa Claus needs to play some more video games. But besides the point, the corporations have taken over everything. They've destroyed the spirit of Christmas, according to Santa Claus. And he's sort of lost the love for his job that he used to have. We sort of get the feeling, after the beginning of the movie and the conversation that Santa Claus has had with the bartender, that he's going to sort of half-ass his job for the night. So it was pretty funny, too, because when he goes in the different houses, he's sampling all the different Christmas cookies. He can tell whether they're homemade or not. And it's comical. Even though he's jaded, it's comical because he's still taking the time to eat the cookies like any proper fat guy with an appreciation for food would do. And I speak with this from personal experience. He bypasses the gate, lands the reindeer, gets in through the chimney, and magic gets Santa Claus through the chimney. This movie is cool because it does world building really well. There's sort of like, you know, like when Blade kills the vampires and they turn into like that sort of dust thing instead of just like exploding into rivers of blood that fly everywhere. They just sort of, this is the like what they did in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They sort of turn to like sparkly dust. That's what happens when Santa Claus, with the Santa Claus magic, goes through the chimney. This will come into play later on in the movie. So he goes through the chimney. He's in this rich person's place. He's there to deliver presents to someone who's nice. And he's got a scroll that tells him who's naughty and who's nice. So he doesn't like exactly have this all memorized. He opens up the scroll, and the scroll instantly tells him who's naughty, who's nice, and like what they've done in their life to elicit this response from Santa Claus, whether they're deserving of presents or not. There's a little girl at the home named Trudy, played by a fantastic actress, Leah Brady. So Santa Claus is there to deliver presents to those that deserve it. He finds this top shelf brandy, and he's like, that's the stuff right there. He drinks it, he settles down, he sort of passes out, and what he wakes up to is a hostage situation. So the super rich family has these crazy people that are led by John Leguizamo. And they all go by these Christmas names. You know, like how Reservoir Dogs, everybody's named like, they have this indiscriminate name, so they can't know each other's real names. So they're like, you're Mr. Pink, you're Mr. Blonde, you're Mr. Blue. They're all based on colors. But these criminals in this that do this heist are all based off of Christmas names. So Mr. Scrooge leads the charge. And John Leguizamo is there as the head of this heist, has been plotting this for a while, working out every angle. He's going to break into this vault and take this money and hold this family hostage. And the family may or may not have earned this money through legitimate means. So there's this sort of air of mystery about exactly how good or bad or shady the people are that are in the hostage situation themselves. Aside from the little girl, Trudy Lightstone is completely innocent. So Santa Claus finds out about this. He starts hearing crazy stuff going on. He has a chance to make it out. Because Santa Claus, he just wants to deliver his presents, finish getting drunk, and go home. Finish his obligation. It's very much like the scene in Pulp Fiction. When Bruce Willis goes through this crazy shit, he's leaving the pawn shop and he's hearing the screams of people being tortured. And he stops and he goes back into the belly of the beast. And he risks his own life to save other people. And that's what Santa Claus does here. And that's what starts his arc to becoming a better person. What you realize in this is that Santa Claus in this movie is not just, well, he's obviously not jolly because he's jaded. But he's not just another lazy fat guy that wants to get drunk and blow off responsibility. He has a history, what they show in flashbacks, where he's some kind of a warrior. He has a hammer called Skull Crusher. This hammer is used to defeat his enemies. In the flashbacks, they just show this hammer dripping with blood, and they show his face with this helmet on. It sort of gives you like God of War feels, or like Genghis Kong kind of a character. This hammer is just dripping with blood, and you can tell that he has just like slaughtered a lot of people, and he's really good at warfare. So this is unlocked once he starts fighting the criminals taking the family hostage, because the little girl that gets a hold of him, little girl communicates with him like Bruce Willis does, the cop in Die Hard. Reginald Val Johnson, I believe his name is, which is one of my favorite parts of Die Hard, their relationship in that movie. Because they're sort of, Bruce Willis and him are sort of, there's all this craziness around them, and there's just two regular people having a conversation, trying to figure out how to make it out alive, and sort of bonding and having humorous moments with each other. That's what David Harbour and the little girl have in this. He's like, I'm going to protect you, just tell me where you are, and she's sort of giving him this information. These walkie-talkies that they have that they're communicating on with, which is like one of the, I can't remember where David Harbour gets the walkie-talkies from, but the family members give it to somebody as a present or whatnot. But anyways, the Santa Claus, once he starts taking out the bad guys, he starts getting more into it. And it's great too, because not only does he have like a learning curve where he opens up his heart and starts to care about other people, but he also gets better at taking people out, at being a badass. Almost sort of like a John Wick kind of thing. He's rusty in the beginning when it happens, and it's a very kind of like sloppy fight scene that happens at the beginning with him. So you can tell he hasn't been in a situation like this for a while. But then he starts getting his groove back, and he was really good at this at one point. As Santa keeps dispatching all the bad guys, and I don't want to tell you exactly what, I don't want to give away like what happened with the criminals and why they're there, and who's shady and who's not. But I'll just say that this movie has a lot of fun with Santa Claus dispatching bad guys in very creative ways. And not only does Santa Claus get better at dispatching the bad guys, he starts coming out with one-liners, so you can tell he's kind of enjoying it while he does it as well, too. So it has an action movie feel to it. It has almost like a old school Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of action movie feel to it with the one-liners. And those progressively have those build up throughout the movie. And I won't say how Santa Claus uses the chimney, but I will compare it to the wood chipper scene in Fargo, which I thought was very creative. But anyways, all of this is done with a tone that's has sort of like dramatic but black comedy elements, like that happen in a movie like The Ref. So there's this dysfunctional family. There's all this stuff going on. And once things start to get like where you feel like they're going to get too dramatic and preachy, they lay on the black comedy and they make it humorous, but in sort of like a satirical way. So they balance everything really well. And even like with sort of the over-the-top gore, they do it in a way that can kind of appeal to mainstream audiences, because David Harbour plays the character of Santa Claus so earnestly. Even though he's kind of like a grumpy old man, he's always kind of like trying to do the right thing. You get the feeling that like this is a family member, a grandfather or an uncle that has been jaded, but he's still a part of our family and he's still a really good person inside. That's the kind of feeling that David Harbour gives this movie in his portrayal of Santa Claus, and that's what makes it work. He kills it in this movie. Well, in more ways than one, I guess. But I think that this movie has the potential to be a cult classic. Sort of like a double feature with Die Hard, or actually, you know what I think this movie would make a great double feature with is a movie called Santa's Sleigh with Bill Goldberg. No, Santa's Sleigh is much cheesier and even, well, more over the top as far as like comedy is concerned. But I think that would be a good one to start it out with. And then when you have the Christmas spirit flowing through you, especially with the help of eggnog, put on Violent Night. And you're going to have a very fun double feature. So a full-on recommend for Violent Night. And, okay, Dead Harvey classroom time. What can we learn from Violent Night? The right tone and sense of humor can make the audience laugh at what may otherwise put them in therapy. Reindeer make great designated drivers. The more you establish the rules of the world you're building, the better your chances of suspending disbelief. A chimney is not only a rustic and comforting holiday icon, it's also a tool in Santa's arsenal. And then last but not least, stay off Santa's naughty list or face the wrath of Skullcrusher, which is a far more effective method of punishment than a lump of coal. Well, that is it for this week. What is your favorite Christmas horror movie? Drop us a line at mm@deadharvey.com and let us know. I wish you much of the holiday spirit, and I hope that your spirits are lifted and you share that good feeling that you have with people that you know, or that you do something kind, whether it's a family member or whether it's a stranger, because that is what the spirit of Christmas is all about. And until next time, stay off of Santa's naughty list or face the consequences of Skullcrusher.